I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Got a busy weekend. We have 106.7 The Fan live tomorrow night. That is a sold-out show. Thank you very much to all that support the station. Should be a fun time. It's at the Tally Ho in Leesburg. You can still win tickets on the Chad Dukes versus the World show. 5:20 p.m. is your chance to win a pair of tickets. Presented by the Purple Heart Foundation. You can get more details at fandc.com/live. And then Jason's out at the Sleep Number store. I believe it's Dulles Town Center.
Yep. So I'll be at the Dulles Town Center Sleep Number store Saturday morning. That's this Saturday.
You can take a nap there after 106.7 The Fan live. This is a perfect appearance.
I'll be there 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So come on by. I want to see a line out the door going all the way down to like the Gap.
Okay.
All right. That's what I want to see. So come on down and buy your beds, buy your pillows, spend money, bring gifts. Do all of that.
Yeah, I like that. To bring gifts part.
But you can only do it if you're there. So 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Sleep Number at Dulles.
Does the Gap still do well?
Who knows?
They're still in business. They're still there. The doors are still open. I don't know how well they do.
But I'm not sure any of those stores are doing that well.
I did see the Toys R Us shuttered or has plans to shutter, I think, 180 stores.
Yeah.
In the next few months.
I mean, think about
Amazon's knocking everybody out.
It's killing it. I've made 3 purchases in the last 3 days and all Amazon.
Yep.
And I don't even bother.
Yep.
And I could have gone to Walmart. What I wanted was at Walmart. I said,
you're going to order it on your phone. Convenience.
I ordered it on my computer. Yep. Yeah. And I did Prime same day shipping.
Ship it.
Same day shipping is so silly. I don't understand, though, is why sometimes do you allegedly have Prime and it says same day shipping, but to get a particular item, you have to pay a little extra.
Prime Plus?
I don't know. Like, why?
Because that item is not close by, and there's no way that it's going to get there.
So they charge an extra $5 VIG,
yeah.
But I paid for it because I get so psyched for same day.
Yeah, same day.
There's something about same day that is just massive.
Sure.
That excitement.
So I wanted to bring up this story, and people can chime in if you'd like at 800-636-1067 about what they're calling financial infidelity. The story's on MarketWatch.com, and it has to do with people that essentially have a slush fund that their partner doesn't know about, right?
Ooh.
And it's surprising the percentage
of people that actually do financial wherewithal.
So according to the numbers, and they surveyed over 2,000 people, and it's by age group, 31% of millennials have a fund that their partner doesn't know about, 24% of people in our age range, 38 to 53, and then 17% of baby boomers, I guess, say at some point they've had an account they've kept secret from their partner. And what was surprising to me is 31% of people in those type of relationships think that keeping a credit card that your partner doesn't know about is worse than cheating physically.
Well, where does this fall on the scale? Now, I have a nublet account at a different bank that my wife knows about, but her name isn't on it.
Oh, it's totally different.
She knows
that's
how,
though.
Yeah, she knows about it. There's nublets in there. Like, if there's like, I mean, AWOL would be sized, but there's like $1,200.
Is that your gambling fund?
It's
basically,
I guess, kind of. Maybe it is. But
is that where you kind of do you put money in there and take money out of there and use it actively?
Not always for poker, but it has happened.
It has happened.
In
a pinch. And you do that because you don't want to raise the suspicion of your bride that the love of her life got it in good. But
look, I'm transparent. I'm an open book. I tell her about the wins and losses.
You do.
She's over it.
Does she always ask you?
She's lived through the JA from only years.
Yeah. Does she always ask you?
He's beyond his hiding, but the JA from only years.
Oh, that would fit into. That was a lot of hiding.
The secret stash.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't have a secret stash, maybe she didn't monitor.
No, there was no secret stash there.
She didn't monitor the bills.
There's a big financial shell game of moving a lot of money around.
So I don't know if this is accurate. Look, they surveyed 2,000 people. 800-636-1067. Are you somebody that does this, and do you think there's anything wrong with it?
I don't do that.
Like,
I've never
done that.
Like, if
it doesn't affect, like, let's say
I like
you're
to
setting
gamble,
aside
10%. And I'm not going to quit.
You're a guy, you're setting aside 10% for golf, for guys' trips, whatever. It's, but you do kind of try and keep it on the down low. Like, you don't funnel that salary into a big checking account that your wife can see all the time.
Yeah.
You have like 10% of your income. Instead of going to 401k,
I don't know that it's like cheating, but I mean, it's definitely shady. It's, you know, I wouldn't recommend it. But you know, a lot of people these days, they just put their money up anyway. You know, like a lot of couples,
yeah,
they make my money, you make your money, and then they pay the bills mutually, sort of together.
Drab move?
Yeah. I have relatives that do that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a new age thing, because I did my finances so long before I got married, because I just got married a couple of years ago. I got married at 33. So I had to do all that stuff for years, had my own accounts, everything. I didn't feel like merging her accounts with ours. So she gets paid, goes into her account, and then we have, you know, a savings account. But most of the money's all in our separate accounts.
So you guys can't give each other grief. Like, if you get Amazon boxes every day, you can't give her a hard time because it's probably coming from her own money.
Right. If she gets Amazon, it's her money. She gets takeout, it's her money.
Right. When you ordered the Swannies, she doesn't say anything to you. It's your money.
Yeah, it's my money.
Yeah. Yeah, but when you have a mortgage, which you're going to be a homeowner soon.
She'll
give me
money.
They're
going to each contribute. They're each going to contribute.
She gives me money for rent every month.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just different.
Just, yeah.
It's
easier that way.
So Dean and I commingle. All our stuff is together. There's no, you know. Jason, we all know, he's got her on a stipend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she gets a couple $100 a year or month.
By the way, this is something
that
we're all married. But this survey also said more than half of Americans would not marry someone with significant debt.
I can see that.
Why would you want to do
a lot
that?
Of people, that's hard. Anchor yourself to somebody.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people do that nowadays because people coming out of college, particularly people who go to college and then grad school, a lot of times have six-figure debt. I know a lot of people that marry into somebody who's got six-figure debt. Now it's student loans, and I don't know how that all works out.
Man, that's hard. It's hard to take on that.
But you marry somebody and you're inheriting their student loans.
That's a big nut.
Because you're behind the eight ball. You're behind the eight ball for a long time if you're inheriting big student loans.
Yep.
Big.
Definitely.
Because inheriting.
But I know a guy who.
Inheriting's not the right word. But you're taking on their debt.
You're inheriting it.
You're inheriting it. How is it not inheriting it?
It's definitely.
I figured inheriting was just simply by death.
No,
I mean, you're using the word in a broader sense, but you're definitely inheriting.
I know someone who actually married a woman, and that woman was an online shopping addict.
Oh, really?
And drove those credit cards up so high you couldn't even see them.
Oh.
How long do you think they were married?
18 months.
2 years. Online addict.
It's just too much.
And
did he
inherit that debt, or is she saddled?
I don't think he knew much about that lifestyle until it started happening.
I understand, but now that they're
It took a while to get out of that.
But you understand my question?
No. I keep cutting you off.
Yeah. Is he now responsible for that debt that she accumulated during the marriage?
No, it's all paid off.
But did he have to help pay it off, or she paid it off herself?
I think she helped a little bit.
A little bit.
All right, let's go to the phones.
Well, he was making more money than her.
Right.
She couldn't pay it off.
800-636-1067, open line Thursday.
Let's go to James Herndon. James, what's up, buddy? Y'all on the jumps.
What's up, fellas? Hey, so I'm 33. I'm recently married for about 3 years now. And about a year ago when I started a new job, my wife actually was wondering where my new paycheck was going, and it actually went into my secret slush fund. And once I kind of explained to her what I do for it, you know, guys' trips and all that, she actually likes that a little bit of money is there on this, you know, the secret, so to speak, so that if we ever need it, it's there. But I definitely think if you hide it all together, it's a little shady. But if you keep a little bit and, you know, use it for gifts or something to kind of surprise her, or, you know, every now and then treat yourself to a round or something, I don't think it's as bad. And a lot of people my age actually have it and are pretty open about it with their partner or wife.
Hmm. All right, it works for you, and I could see that. You say, hey, you got it's like an extra money that you don't think about, Cakes. The hell, you know what? But that's only if she knows about it,
right? Like, let's just say, theoretically, we all just received a bonus. Thank you to our listeners. We had
we all did
great numbers.
Except for you.
Except for you. Yeah, you'll never get it.
75% of the people got it.
Yes. Yeah. What if...
Thanks, appreciate it.
What if your bonus went to a secret account that your wife didn't know about? And then she found out about it, she'd be quite salty.
She'd be salty. Of course. If the agreement is that you have a joint account, then yes, your wife would be salty.
Is it money?
Maybe you were just buying stuff. Maybe you were just buying stuff that you didn't want her to know about. You bought a new driver. Yeah. You're buying, you know, a new set of golf clubs.
Yeah. Isn't money the number one thing that couples fight about?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's the number one thing. So, of course people are going to be bitter.
100%. What would be number two? It's got to be way behind.
I'm sure Jace is buying a driver. He has a deal with golf clubs. I'm sure he's buying one.
Well, Puma Pete's my man.
Yeah, please.
I'll buy drivers. Get Cobras.
Never bought a piece of golf equipment in probably a decade.
Thank God.
All right, let's go to Mike in Fredericksburg. Mike, what's up?
What's going on, Junks? I just want to say, so I'm 39. My dad is 65. And I remember being like a teenager, and my dad had this same setup with my mom where every paycheck he would deposit the same amount of money into the checking account. The joint checking account, and then all the rest he kept in a little slush fund for that my mom didn't know about. But for him, what he did it for was, you know, if the water heater went down, or, you know, at the end of the year we took a vacation, or, you know, he kind of kept it as a little off the book slush fund, but it was always for the family, so it wasn't really an issue. I don't personally do that. Like, when I get a bonus at work, like, my wife knows about it, and it's usually something that goes towards the family. But, like, I can see where I think as long as you're doing it for the family so that if something comes up, that's one thing. If you're doing it for you and being all secretive about it, I could see where that would cause some problems.
It's your money. You paid for it.
Of course. It's always – I can't see a scenario where it wouldn't cause at least initial – issues until you were able to explain it away.
Yeah.
There's absolutely not a single person on the planet that would be like, yeah, that's cool that you've been hiding money from me for 25 years. That's cool. No one is going to take
that. At least that caller is putting away for like a water heater or a home emergency. Mine is for like if a guy spikes a set on me, I need to go and take out $600.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Because I will not go to the ATM at the casino. That will never
happen. Is that the ultimate walk of shame?
Well, a guy at my table did it twice yesterday in the span of, you know, he was taking some massive beats. He was the cooler at the table.
Just bleeding.
Just hemorrhaging. Yeah. And then he got up and he was back 6 minutes later with a fresh roll.
Let's go to Roy in McLean. Roy, what's up? I can relate to this right
now. Good morning, Junks.
Hey, what's up,
Roy? How you doing, Junks?
What's up, Roy?
Hey, I was telling your screener that my wife and I have been together 45 years.
Yeah.
And I'm 62, and I don't pay not one bill.
Right.
She pays everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But what that comes from is when I was growing up, my father would drink all of his paycheck up, and by the time he got home, there was no money for the family.
Right. Awful.
So as I grew up, I said, I wasn't going to be like that. And my main concern is my family comes first. My needs are secondary.
Right. I wish I could say the same.
I mean, I got my credit cards and all. No problem. But right. She pays all the bills.
Right,
you know.
Right. Hey, I'm with you. My wife does all the bills over at my crib, too.
Hey, as long as your wife doesn't take all of your money and buy gift cards and throw them in the back of a car and speed off.
Right.
We heard about happened to somebody in our business within the past few years.
Right.
As long as you can trust your wife, it's a good setup. Right. If things are shaky with your wife and you're just leaving all the finances to her,
right?
I don't know if that's the best.
Well, a lot of times you don't know if it's shaky. That's the problem. You think it's silly.
You think everything's great.
Yeah, and then you find out it's shaky. All of a sudden
you bought $100,000 in gift cards, unbeknownst to you.
God forbid, knock on everything, something happened to my wife. I honestly would be, I would need to hire someone to do the bill.
You need a personal assistant.
Everything's on the computer. Everything's automatically paid for.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what's where or... I wouldn't even know the passwords to get into the account. Right.
Mammy, can you imagine being married to a woman where you couldn't trust whether or not there was going to be money in the account at the end of the month?
Right.
It would be terrible.
Well, those marriages don't last.
Man, that would be unbelievable.
That's why your friend's marriage lasts 18 months. You know what I mean? You can't last.
Well, that plus they didn't like each other.
Right, that too.
But that usually factors in.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. You're going to chime in. We will preview the Super Bowl coming up at 9. Ted Johnson, former Patriots linebacker, joins us on the Junkies.
Hi, Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back, Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. We'll weave in your phone calls here on Open Line Thursday. If you want to chime in on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Lines, 800-636-1067 is the number. Well, let's do a little Chucky sports page. Jason's upset that we've gone 2 hours and haven't talked about Chipper Jones.
Well, we should talk. You say that sarcastically. It's like it's not a big story.
It's a big story. I don't know that a lot of people locally care about it.
Okay, so you don't want to talk about it?
No, you can talk about it. You want to talk about it.
I mean, it's the Hall of Fame.
Chipper deserves it.
Yeah.
Larry. I mean,
we've talked about the glasses and hiding money and poker. We can't do a little baseball?
Little.
Come on.
A smidge. Glasses.
All right. I also want to talk about Larry Nassar. Did you guys watch any of the footage or the presser? Not the presser, but the sentencing.
Yes.
From the Larry Nassar case yesterday.
I actually have not.
Man, it's
I haven't watched any of that.
It's unbelievable. He's been doing this since 1997.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's a serial monster.
1997. In fact,
he's a monster.
Yeah, people knew about it.
Yeah.
That's what I don't
understand. Kids and parents were complaining about it for 20 years.
What I don't understand is how do you not think that eventually one of these kids are going to come to their senses and they're going to get the strength to come out?
Right.
How can you not think
couldn't control the urges? Just overrode everything else, I guess.
Couldn't control the urges.
That, like, he was visiting these girls and allegedly examining them, abusing them in their hotel rooms. That's where the exams that he, right. you know, the sham exams that he was passing off were taking place instead of, I don't know, a doctor's office mm-hmm. with some supervision.
Yeah.
I mean, it was outrageous.
Did you read what he was doing to the girls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The genital manipulation. It's just awful.
Incredible. So anyway, so the judge handed down a sentence of 175 years. So I hope you have him in the Deadpool.
I do. My man Mikey made that pick.
So wasn't he already sentenced to a bunch? Like,
he already had 40 years, I think, for a child porn.
That
charges.
Was just for the porn, yeah.
Now he has...
This is for the molesting.
Listen, I have no regard for child molesters. They're the worst people on earth, right? Other than, I guess, maybe murderers, or I guess you have to say are worse. But, man, I got to say, if you get 40 years for watching a particular type of porn,
mm-hmm.
well, I mean, I get it. It's child porn. Yeah. I understand the depravity, and that, I guess that indicates what you're into. But, man.
I know.
I have no remorse for him whatsoever.
He's just awful.
I'm not saying that I do, Cakes. I'm just saying.
Here's what I would do with him.
And the president of Michigan State, who knew about it since 2014,
That's crazy.
All right, knew about it for almost four years.
Well, she's gone now, too. She's
stepping down.
Yeah.
It's a woman.
She knew about it and didn't report it, didn't say anything. She just sat on it.
Hush, hush.
She Joe Paterno'd it.
Why would you do
that?
Because you don't want
the school to look bad.
Listen, I'm telling you, there's a local university here that has a scandal going on that they don't want. That everyone's keeping hush hush.
Because
they don't want the university to get all the negative attention.
Sentenced,
and they know they'll all get fired.
Here's what should happen to Larry Nassar.
She's just as bad as him.
He should be taken out on a Navy battleship, 30 miles out in the ocean, and just drop him in with an anchor around his ankles, and just be done with him.
I think you're right.
Although he's going to be in prison for 40 years. It's going to cost taxpayers millions and millions of dollars.
I just hope he's treated in prison like he treated these girls.
Well, can only hope.
Yeah. Hall of Fame voting from yesterday. Four new members of the Baseball Hall of Fame, class of 2018. Chipper Jones got 97% of the vote. Vladimir Guerrero, whose kid is a stud, by the way, who plays for, I believe, the Blue Jays, in the Blue Jays organization. He got 93% of the vote. Jim Thome got 89.8%. And Trevor Hoffman, who we met in Tampa, Florida, at a Super Bowl
you,
show. Matt,
you were jock sniffing with him and like John Franco.
For Brett Saberhagen was there too.
I think Saberhagen, I was waiting John for a cab in that white trash just outpost known as Ybor City.
That's where we were. We were in a sports bar.
Decided to play 989 NFL.
So the video games, I was there. Back to the hotel.
I was there with Saberhagen and John Franco and. Yep. God, who else was there? Trevor Hoffman. Was David Wells? Did he swing by?
I don't think he was
omnipresent.
I don't think he was in that particular bar.
Is that your Tom Arnold picture as well?
No, that was at a different. That was in Atlanta.
No, that was another one. Yeah, that was Atlanta.
That was Atlanta. That with was Gretzky.
Me, Tom Arnold, Gretzky,
Brandy Chastain.
It's a good group.
That's so funny.
I mean, I still have that picture.
You're hanging out with the greatest hockey player of all time.
I still have that picture.
Yeah,
in my office.
It's a great pick.
That was great.
It's so funny how celebrities just hang out with each other. They probably have nothing in common. They're just celebrities, so they all end up
fame
in the same,
common
fame.
Exactly. Yeah, so they can relate to that.
That was
same
in
life.
That was during the ice storm.
Yes,
I got hammered at like the media party, and I took a pic with Tim Brown. I don't even remember taking the picture.
Right, I took a pic with downtown Julie Brown.
I'm wearing brown khakis and a brown sweater.
I had my silly Abercrombie sweater, the burnt orange silly.
Did JP call Marshall Faulk another name, or he thought someone was Marshall Faulk?
No, I think Eric bots Marshall Faulk. I bought somebody
Strahan.
Else. You thought the janitor with the gap tooth was Strahan.
No. Well, I also was messing with John Randall that night, and he like tackled me.
Yeah,
or something.
Bumbled you.
He got bitter.
Yeah.
I remember. I also shook Kurt Warner's hand so hard when he had a Tom Brady injury, and he did our show, and I squeezed the life out of his injured hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably why they lost the Super Bowl that day.
So the guy who got hoard though,
they lost that year.
They lost that year.
The guy who got hoard yesterday was Edgar Martinez. Big right?
So Edgar Martinez got 70.4%. He's got one more year on the ballot.
I mean, he definitely winced when I shook his hand. I mean, 100%. He was like, I'm careful.
Big claw hand.
Yeah. So yeah, Edgar got hoard, but he'll probably get in next year. If you get 70.4, I mean, you're probably going to get the 75.
Designated hitter is why he's been disrespected.
Yeah, but man, such a great hitter.
Eric, how did you have access to the players before the Super Bowl?
We were tight with Gene Upshaw.
We used to host a party. Yeah. Well, we would go. We didn't host the party.
We did
our show live from the NFL players party.
Yeah.
All right, so they would just bring the players. And, oh, here's Dante Culpepper. Here's Marshall Faulk.
Our Gene guy
Howard Skull would hook us.
But Gene Upshaw, rest his soul, would listen to the show every day. And then it gave us access. Thus, our relationship with the NFLPA began 18, 19 years ago.
Yeah, that's how it happened.
And then D...
and we did some great shows.
Did some great shows right there. And then luckily, you know, when D took over, you know, he's embraced the show.
I was so jelly of the Gene Upshaw Raiders helmet that D has in his office at the NFLPA headquarters.
What is it, like the original NFL?
It's the helmet that he wore that he probably suffered 50 concussions in during his playing career.
Right.
I mean, it looks like it's held together with duct tape and Elmer's glue sitting right behind his desk in their headquarters
in D.C.
Man,
there were some fun times.
Jelly. I wanted to steal it.
Some fun times. But Edgar does not get it. Mussina is not going to get it. He's got 63.5%. I can't believe Mussina can't get into the Hall.
I can.
Because
never won a Cy Young, right?
It's 270 wins. Who are the best pitchers
today? Did he ever have a 20-win season?
Is he just a compiler?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that the way they look at him? So you're
a compiler?
He's
a bit of a compiler.
No, well, it's not easy to do to compile.
I'm not saying
it's easy
to do.
He just was a guy that never really won 20. He would just win 18 every year. That should be good enough.
That's awesome today. I mean, who are the best pitchers today?
Well, Scherzer.
Scherzer. Won't sniff 270 wins. Give me another one.
Kershaw.
Won't sniff 270 wins.
Strassi.
Give me another. Strassi, not even close. Who else? Verlander. Is Verlander going to the Hall of Fame? 100%. Verlander's going to the Hall of Fame. He's got almost 100 less wins than Mussina.
Look, apparently you're the fan of the prez of the Miami.
And by the way, he pitched in the steroid era.
Right.
Stat geeks hate wins. Right?
Yeah, wins, they suck.
Well, what I don't understand is
why don't you look at the greatest pitchers of all time and see where they rank on the wins list?
I'm not arguing that. I'm just telling you, stat geeks hate wins.
I know. I'm just yelling at you because
I'm mad. But his ERA was pretty sick, too, right? What was? I mean, I don't have his stats in front of me.
For the juiced ball era.
Under four.
Yeah.
Three, 3.7?
Juice!
Pretty sick.
So, Mussina's getting hoard. Clemens.
I'm sorry. I know
Kershaw,
you said it.
Why won't Kershaw sniff it? I'm looking at Kershaw's stats.
How many total wins does he have?
He has 144 wins. He's 29.
You think he's going to get 140 more wins?
Why not?
He's been pitching for 10 years.
Well, if he pitches till he's 38.
Okay, so
Kershaw's
still going to be pitching like that when he's 38.
Okay, let's say he plays eight more seasons.
It's going to be drop-off.
I think it's reasonable. He's 37. And he just gives you an average of 15 wins. That's 120.
Okay. So how much does he have now?
144.
Okay.
That's still short
of it.
Like 15. I don't know.
My point is, you know how hard it is to get to 270 wins?
I understand that. But Mike Mussina,
really good.
Look,
he was definitely one of the best pitchers of his era.
I loved him when he was with the Orioles. I think he was very
good. I'm not saying he's better than Kershaw.
Very good. I just don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. He never had those dominant years.
Well, 64% felt like he was.
I think he was dominant. He just didn't get over the win total hump.
He was never the best pitcher.
You don't have to be the best one. You can be in the top 5 or 10. It's good enough.
Yeah. Just my personal opinion. I think he's Hall of Pretty Good.
I'm surprised.
He's on the borderline of Hall of Pretty Good and Hall of Fame for me.
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
I think he is too.
He did win 20. He won 20 his last year. Wow.
How many total years did he pitch?
He pitched 18.
Man, that's unbelievable.
He pitched 18 years. 270 and 153. Win-loss percentage of 638. I don't know where that ranks. Seems
pretty
damn good.
You know what? He's got 120 win season. He's not that silly.
That's what we were talking about.
Guys don't win 20 now.
Okay.
It's hard to win 20. It just is.
You know what? He'll make the Williamsport PA Hall of Fame.
KXC won 18 games, 19 games, 19 games, 18 games, 18 games, 17 games, 17
is
games,
18 and
20 games.
The benchmark? I thought 20 in a season is kind of a benchmark.
Right, but I'm just saying, he was a one or two short of that a bunch of times.
But his ERA at 3.7, now I'm just because I've just clicked on Clayton Kershaw as an ERA of 2.36.
Right, right, yeah. Okay, but click on pictures from that era.
Yeah, you're
click
missing
on,
the point.
Click on
the
guys, Clemens.
And I know he's not going to get in. Click on Clemens. Okay. What do you think Clemens' ERA was? 3.1.
Okay.
Well, Clemens 3.6. Should be in, too.
And he had 7 Cy Youngs. Now, of course, he did steroids.
Yeah, he's a noted steroid user.
Click on another pitcher, like a guaranteed Hall of Famer from that era. Like, Clemens should be in. That's just a joke.
Greg Maddux?
Yeah.
Randy Johnson?
Put Randy Johnson's ERA in. I bet you it's in the ballpark.
Randy Johnson's career ERA 3.29.
It's pretty sick.
So. 303 wins, and he won, let's see, how many Cy Youngs? 5, which means best pitcher in the game for a year.
Let me ask you a question.
Never did that
Charles
once.
Barkley a Hall of Famer?
Of course.
Right, same thing.
Same thing.
Never won a championship. Always played in the era of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but he was.
His numbers always pale.
He was a top 5 player.
His numbers always pale. I feel like Mussina was always a top 5 or 10 pitcher.
Mm. I think only a 5-time All-Star.
I don't put much stock into the All-Star games. I look at longevity. I look at total numbers. I look at ERA. I look at how you pitched in the postseason. Schilling pitched awesome in the postseason.
5-time All-Star means, so a quarter of the seasons he was in the top 22 pitchers in Major League Baseball.
No one's going to be dominant at the end of their career. I mean, rare birds are guys on steroids and stuff. But then the prime of his career, I don't know, where does complete
you know what,
games
JP,
rank
JP,
in terms of like Maddux and all those guys?
You can't compare guys who were winning 20 games. It's just not very easy to do anymore. Some of the best pitchers in 2018
you know what?
Won't win 20 games.
Find somebody else that would win 20 games with the Orioles in that era.
Find out how many. Do me a favor,
Valdez. This is my personal opinion. I think he's on the borderline.
Valdez, tell me how many 20-win seasons Verlander has. Tell me how many 20-win seasons he's got. Just interested. I don't even know.
Yeah, but Verlander's won a Cy Young.
Yeah,
or two.
I don't think you have to have a Cy Young to be in the Hall of Fame.
He's got a
Cy Young. I think it helps. It means you were the best at your position for that year. And by the way, Charles, compared to Charles Barkley, he was all NBA, I think, 5 times.
Right, but it's a similar deal. Like, Charles was never the best player in basketball. Never. Not one year he was in the league was he ever the best player.
He won the MVP, and he was the best at his position.
But nobody ever thought he was better than Jordan.
Way better than Mike Mussina. It's not even close. Top 50 players of all time.
I'm trying to make an exaggerated
Verlander,
argument.
You know what? Verlander has one 20-win season. His ERA is not that much better than Mussina's. And he's got 100 less wins.
Okay.
100. If he was pitching when Mussina was in his prime, you think he'd have these numbers? No way.
I don't know.
He wouldn't.
Didn't know you're so passionate about Mike Mussina.
He just deserved to be there.
Here's the other side of the steroid era.
And Clemens,
yes, you're facing the steroid guys, but you also have those steroid guys hitting on your side to help you get wins.
Well, I don't know about the run support, but I'm just looking at his numbers, and his numbers to be what they are in the steroid era are pretty damn impressive.
Again, I think he's a very good player. I just think he's a borderline, and that's why he's getting 60% of the votes. That's why he's not getting getting in like Greg Maddux. Was he as good as Tom Glavine? He wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
No, you can wait, though.
And what? Tom Glavine has that elusive 300
wins. How many years has he been eligible?
You guys yesterday brought up Curt Schilling.
Like 5 years.
Curt Schilling's not a Hall of Famer. He's got like 220 wins.
He's also World Series MVP, and he's one of the sickest postseason pitchers of all time.
Right, my opinion.
Well, of course, it's a dumb opinion.
Is the 20 wins your benchmark? Was Curt Schilling one of the best pitchers era?
You think you misheard me. He doesn't have 220 wins. He has 216 career wins.
Okay, but was he one of the best pitchers of his era?
For a stretch.
Here's equivalent. Now,
he was a great pitcher in the postseason.
This guy won 20 games three times, but I believe, is Jack Morris in the Hall of Fame?
I thought he got in a couple years ago.
I think he may have gotten in.
Yeah,
recently.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Jack Morris has 254 wins, and he's got an ERA of 3.9.
So he's got more wins. Jack Morris.
He's got more wins.
And a lower ERA.
And he just got in. And maybe that's what's going to happen to Mike Mussina.
I would bet that Mussina gets in. What was his percentage this time?
Wasn't very good. 63.
What was it last year? Is he going down or up?
I mean, I'm sure he's probably going up, but is he going to get 12% in a year?
It doesn't. The Veterans Committee will get him in or something.
Wait,
at some point, he'll get in.
Okay, well,
Bonds
now he's
and Clemens are moving up the charts.
So he has to. How are they moving up the charts? They got 55%.
I think they've gone up a few percent each year.
If you look at history, you got to be way above 55%.
No, you got to be at 75.
No, I'm saying the trajectory has to be way above 55% for their eligibility
To get there.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that they're done.
Hey, look, I've always had higher standards. I'm not into the Hall of Pretty Good. You guys want to put Fred Griffin
in?
Mike Mussina in? Put him in.
That Mike Mussina can't touch? No one from that era? Jack Morris has 175 complete games. Think about that.
That's pretty sick.
That's maybe the sickest stat I've seen.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067.
That's why I bring this up. It's a good debate.
Ted Johnson's going to join us, former Patriots linebacker at 9, as we preview the Super Bowl. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Earlier in the show, we had Charlie Cashley, former Redskins and Texans GM, talking about Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. EB, he says he doesn't think any of those guys are going to be available at 13.
Did he say that?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
He said
that.
Teams are starving for quarterbacks, so not going to drop to 13. But if you could choose one of them, which one excites you the most?
Excites me the most?
They're going to take a quarterback. Which one would excite you as a Redskins fan? Kirk is gone. They draft one of them. Would you rather have Josh Allen or Baker Mayfield?
I'd rather have the guy that played the bigger competition and the moxie.
Baker.
Moxie. I do. I like that. I like the guy with a little swagger.
Yeah.
And he played big-time football. I don't like that he won the Heisman because that never...
never
seems to do well. I don't like that he creates so much with his legs, but I trust Charlie. If Charlie thinks he's showing some ability to read defenses in the tape that he's seen, he can make all the throws. And if you go by, I know this is a true any prospect, but you go back to like their high school coaches and stuff, and they're like, they've never seen a competitor like that. Mm-hmm. I know they all say that, but like, didn't Mayfield end up at Oakland? They transfer there? He started out somewhere.
Texas Tech.
Right, started out Texas Tech. Like, they didn't even really want him. And then,
he was a walk-on at Texas Tech, and a walk-on at Oklahoma.
Exactly.
Well, he got hurt, and then he didn't play in the bowl game because whoever took over the job was playing well.
Right, but think about that for a second.
I'm out.
Think about it for a second. He was a guy that was basically not wanted coming out of high school. Walked on.
I think he was from. Isn't he from Austin?
I'm not sure.
From Austin. I don't think Texas offered him a scholarship.
Nobody really wanted him. He walks on to Texas Tech and actually plays there for a moment, right? Doesn't he play but then gets hurt and not able to play or whatever? Like, so he rises, beats everybody there. I think he even causes a kid or two to transfer from Texas Tech. Then goes to Oklahoma. He just falls in their lap. They're not recruiting him. And he rises above there, beats everybody else out there, causes another couple kids to transfer, wins a Heisman. I bet on guys like that.
All right, let's go to the phones. Open line Thursday if you want to chime in. All right. On that, you can. Anything else, your chance to steer the show.
All right, let's go to Mike in Fairfax. Mike, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was going to ask about the UVA-Duke game Saturday, wondering if you think UVA could move into the number one slot if they beat Duke. And if so, when was the last time a D.C., Maryland, Virginia school was ranked number one? I think it's probably been a pretty long time, huh?
Well, they definitely can move to number one if Villanova loses.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need
but
to happen.
Even if Villanova wins, can't UVA move in with a win on the road at
they
Duke?
Probably won't.
That usually doesn't happen. You usually don't give up your spot.
I mean, Villanova is seen as, you know, if not the best team in the country, certainly one of the top two or three. So
now, they lost
like
a key player, right?
Now, they lost Kid Booth, who broke his hand. That kills them because he's a good player, a real good player. But the Duke Virginia game is just a monster in the ACC on Saturday.
By the way, I can't believe, and this was brought up earlier this week, though, that Duke landed for next year's class, right? They've been out-recruiting Kentucky the last couple of years and getting the top players in the country. But according to the scouting services, they have landed the number one, the number two, the number three, and the number 10 high school seniors.
Right, the Williamson kid, they thought he was a lock to go to Clemson. He said, nope. I'm going to Duke. I'm
incredible.
Not playing for Clemson at all.
Yeah, Coach K is the new Calipari.
Yeah.
They're getting the R.J. Barrett kid. They're getting the Reddish kid. And now they're getting the big kid from South Carolina. 1, 2, and 3. Has that ever happened before? No chance, right? Since all of these recruiting websites have started?
No, they've started.
Yeah.
And they said that Jeff Borzello from ESPN said that he thought, and most people thought, Duke was number 5 on his list that day.
So what happened?
A secret. It was a big secret, I guess.
Coach K is just selling something that these kids are buying now.
Calipari did an interview where he's trashing Duke and how they recruit. He was saying how Coach K or whoever's doing the pitch is telling them that because you go to Duke, you're going to be taken care of for life by the school and by the state.
Do you think that's not true? It's probably 100% true. Probably 100% true. If you play basketball,
Calipari doesn't like that. He's implying that you're going to get help.
Calipari just says, "Hey, if you come to Kentucky, you're going pro.
Right, yes. You're going to be a first round pick."
Now,
right? What about
Coach
twins?
K can say
where
that too.
Where those twins end up?
The Harrison
twins.
One
of them's in the league.
One of them is in the league.
I think it's Andrew Harrison's at Memphis.
Where's the other kid?
Probably.
He's in the Washington
jock.
Yeah, exactly. They don't all make it to the league.
But talk about a contrast in style between UVA and Duke. I mean, Duke leads the country in scoring. They're averaging 92 a game. And they're going to play UVA, who is holding teams to 36.
Right, but I think
Coach K, because they used to be, when we were growing up and when we were in college, they were a defensive team that played balls to the wall defense, guys slapping the floor,
stupid
mojo. And now they don't play defense.
Not anymore. Now it's up and down. How many points can you score?
Hey, you got to adapt. And who's better adapting than Coach K? Right. I ain't giving him credit, though. It's the worst.
Easy to adapt when you get the best talent.
Well, certainly.
Do you know this is so tilting that when I want to look up a Maryland score on my phone or whatever, I'll go to CBSSports.com. I still click ACC first.
I wonder how long you'll do that.
I've been doing that for years. And of course I know they're
at
not
some
in the
point
ACC.
You learn.
It's instinct.
Yeah. They're in the ACC when you guys were there.
I mean, immediately I see the ACC because it's alphabetical. ACC is always one of the first ones. I go, oh, boom, let's see what the terms. Oh, distraught.
You can look up Virginia
Tech. And then you have to, actually, the Big Ten is actually on my nub's phone.
It's way down.
It's way down. It's one of the B's way down.
The Terps are a natural territorial rival with Michigan and Michigan State and Nebraska. It makes all the sense in the world.
Don't forget Rutgers.
Rutgers, yes, of course.
All right, it's open line Thursday, right?
Let's go to
Kurt Bethesda. Your chance to steer the show. Hey, what's up, Kurt? What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Love the show. Love the Hall of Fame debate.
What's up?
Right, those are easy ones.
So, Jack Morris does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. His ERA was 5% above league average, third worst of any starting pitcher in the Hall of Fame. Kurt Schilling, on the other hand, good numbers in the regular season, but a monster in the playoffs. Look it up, like 11-2, 2.2 ERA. That would put him over the hump for me. way better than Morris and his stats.
Yeah, Morris started to bleed a little bit towards the end of his career. Like 80,
a lot of guys do, though.
Yeah, 88 to 94, his ERAs weren't that great. But, man, he got a bunch of wins. And
well,
he
how
got,
about those complete
he
games?
He got a bunch of complete games, and he was a stud in the postseason.
I mean, who's got – I mean, I'm sure a ton of those guys, like Walter Johnson. But, I mean, 175 complete games is absolutely outrageous. Maybe not compared to Steve Carlton.
In his era, see how it compares.
Yeah, maybe. I bet you Steve Carlton has about 250.
That's why it took forever for him to get in.
I think you bring up good points about Curt Schilling. Look, I would probably keep Curt Schilling and Mike Messina out, but I think Curt Schilling's, this is a straight up eyeball, not looking at stats test, was a little more dominant. And I liked Mike Messina. He was pretty good. He was the Fred McGriff of pitching.
Right. Fred McGriff, man, he has some bomb ass numbers. He is on the outside.
Fred McGriff in.
He is
probably not.
He is the poster boy for the Hall of
he
Very
always
Good.
Always comes
he
off.
Can't put, there's nobody that embodies it better than Fred
McGriff.
How about
Harold Baines? He's close right to 3,000 hits. Can't put him in.
Well, it might be.
It's Harold Baines.
It might be Schilling and Mussina because they might not ever get in.
I think Mussina deserves it. And Schilling's just being hoarded because, you know, he's a Republican. 100%. I mean, if you're a Republican in this country, for half the people, you're like a pedophile. Let's go to
the other thing that killed Schilling was injuries too, because he wasn't as consistent year in year out as Mussina was. He was better in the postseason, and maybe had more 20-win seasons, but he wasn't as consistent year in year out.
Who is this?
Schilling versus Mussina.
By the way, Harold Baines made the All-Star team more than Mike Mussina.
Harold Baines is
in the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but, I mean...
almost 3,000 hits, 2884.
Right, but that's...
Maybe it was probably harder for Mussina to get in as a pitcher back then. I mean, just, are you basing it on All-Star games?
All-Star games factor. Are a bit of a sham.
I mean, you just brought up Dennis Martinez. Dennis Martinez pitched like 4 or 5 years
more. Darryl Strawberry probably made 10 All-Star games he didn't deserve. You know what I mean? Just call name.
JP said, here, look at the ERAs and look at the total wins. Dennis Martinez and Mike Mussina. And that's his argument that Mussina wasn't. Was Mussina better than Martinez? Absolutely.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I know, but you're looking at total numbers and you're not factoring in how much longer these guys played.
No, they're all factors.
Martinez pitched 4 or 5 years more than Mussina did. And Martinez didn't have to pitch in the, well, when he was in his prime, he didn't pitch in the steroid era.
Hmm. All right, I see the boys waving their fingers, their dirty fingers. I guarantee you Valdez's fingers are so dirty. I bet you. Ugh. Yeah. Your hands aren't that big, are they? You know what? Maybe big palms, short fingers?
Dandruff?
Huh?
That equals dandruff.
What do you think, Cakes? Look at his hands. You might have Trump hands.
They look like normal-sized hands to me.
They do?
Well, yeah. Normally Cakes, and they must be small.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, Ted Johnson used to play with the Patriots back in the day. He's now a sports radio host in Houston. We'll talk Super Bowl with Ted Johnson here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.